Let's go. You're listening to ESPN 97.5, Houston's only FM sports station.
One home for all professional sporting activities.
That was pretty cool.
Yep.
Presented by Rice University, Jones Graduate School of Business MBA program. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Broussard's hypothetical take on Morey trying to sway the 76ers to trade Simmons for CP3 would be somewhat of a possibility if they win the Zion ping pong ball tonight. I think that's almost 0% chance that would happen. And if you're the Sixers, I don't care, even if you get Zion, how does that make any sense whatsoever? And it's Chris Broussard, which means it's total BS. So
yeah, I can see in a way thinking that a guy like Chris Paul could be better for a team that's in win now mode than Ben Simmons, especially a team that is kind of going to be lacking in shooters. But I don't know. I think the Rockets would be a lot happier with that deal than the Sixers would.
Let's say best case scenario, these tackles work out somehow, whether it's Khalil or the rookie playing on the left side, and you get somebody on the right side.
Okay.
They stay relatively healthy.
Okay.
What's your best case scenario for the Texans?
9-7.
See, I was going to say 10-6.
10-6, but it's 9-7 or 10-6.
I think
if everything goes their way.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. It's hour number 3. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you missed the first 2 hours, very, very sportsy, except for we did one segment on Game of Thrones that everybody loved, and then we had to switch gears for a minute. So I'm going to go back to that. We're going to finish up some Thrones talk, and we'll take some phone calls. So if you want to get in, this is your segment to do it.
Shortest wait times in the city.
Is that true?
No, absolutely not. People wait on hold for a ridiculous amount of time to talk about things. Let's talk to Ryan, who's been on hold for like 45 seconds or something. Ryan.
Hey, just want to say, I agree with you, Fred. I had no issues with how they took Danny. That was kind of expected just because of how much they'd pushed her over the last several episodes and from last season. From losing Jorah to losing her advisors to losing two dragons. I mean, what is she gonna? She's pretty much all by herself now, and back to where she was back in season one, where she was kind of desperate. And so I had no issues with that. If anything, I had issues with how they took Jamie's character arc. That was kind of disappointing. I was kind of hoping that he would kill Cersei, but hey, we can't get things in life, so what are you going to do? But yeah, that's kind of the general comment that I had. So,
all right, hey, what kind of world do we live in that you wanted to see him kill someone? It just came out funny to me. And listen, I want to make something clear because 713 says people are mad at Daenerys because the city surrendered and she threw a temper tantrum and slaughtered innocent people.
It's because Jon didn't sling the wood.
I've only heard that about 6,000 times over the last two days.
Which, by the way, that was the first time that those two who have literally zero on-screen chemistry for whatever reason. Like, they seem almost like everything's forced between them when it's got to be, like, romantic. That was the first time that it worked out for him when Jon wasn't going to give it to her and he, like, kind of pulled away. It's like, oh, great. Suddenly, you guys not having on-screen chemistry works great.
Well, I want to point out that I'm not saying she was justified. I'm saying in her mind she was justified. Right. I think people are confused. They think that I'm saying it was okay for her to fry women and children. No, I'm against that. But, I mean, that's a decision that's been made throughout history. Doesn't make it right. Dropping a nuclear weapon on a city just kills women and children. Doesn't make it right.
Right.
Was it justified? That's what I like so much about this episode is that, you know, we should be questioning whether or not she was justified in doing that. And everyone else on her team was, except for the Dothraki and the Unsullied, who clearly didn't care. And they were gonna. The one guy was gonna rape the woman, and John's like, "Eh, we're not having any of that." And finally, getting his people out of there because she was probably gonna fry all of them too. So, I just think the whole character arc made sense, and I think Jamie's arc was destroyed last week when he left Brienne.
Yeah,
and basically after all the changes he's gone through, he's still the same turd who pushed a kid out of a window.
Yeah, it's true.
Let's try Todd. What's up, Todd?
Todrick.
Hello, Todd. Okay.
It's because he's listening on his radio. You can hear us on his radio. Come on, Todd.
Guys, when you call, you got to listen on the phone. So, all right.
That does it. No more Game of Thrones calls. You can't deal with this.
Oh, man. Angela's getting married in Vegas in July. Congratulations, but he wanted the Vegas guide. So I went and got it off of SportsMap. It's not as easy to find on there as I would like. Just for future reference, if you want to get it, the easy thing to do is go to editor's picks and just scroll through those. It's like fifth on the list. And I bring it back every now and then. It's kind of what the editor's picks is for stuff that we did months ago that's still fun. Or stuff that we've done recently. Like we got the golf tournament coming, which, by the way, you need to get signed up for that. But all the info for that is on editor's picks right now. So there you go. Scarborough says people that died were the same ones who were rooting for Ned Stark to be beheaded. So
yeah.
Maybe. I think King's Landing, I still think the best stuff has always happened at King's Landing. And earlier, Drunk Bevo mentioned that the wall coming down to the Night King, all that was built up, and then suddenly that's done in episode 3. And I agree with the structure here a little bit, that it kind of felt like that was such an important part, and yet one episode it's done. Now, it was a cool moment that the little girl whacked him.
Yeah.
And that was cool, but it also felt like, wow, that, you know, that this feels anticlimactic to go back to fighting over. And that's the other thing, too. I think the fact that she had to fry every one of the Walking Dead, basically, I think that was playing into her thinking. She wasn't going to take a surrender. And I agree with everybody who thought, wow, you've gone too far. But, you know, there's no guarantee that those people hated Cersei. We just were told that. But I'll go back to the whole scenes there, and I get the imagery of death on a pale horse, which is with Arya. So I think there's got to be more to it than that. But I thought the whole scene of her and everybody else running for their lives from this thing in the streets, and from that shot, from that perspective, I just thought was brilliant. And so I asked, was that a Northern soldier who John killed for trying to rape? I think it was. It didn't. Well, you know, it's not an Unsullied.
No.
And he didn't look like a Dothraki to me. So, yeah, I think it was a Northern soldier. So, 713-780-ESPN.
I will say my favorite thing about that episode was visually it was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, to me, there was a lot of problems with the story. And, you know, I was disappointed in some of the things that happened or, you know, but the way it looked was incredible.
Yeah. I thought there was so much more going on in this episode than anything that they've done. Well, I take that back. I think episode 3, there was a lot more going on. We just couldn't see the damn thing.
Yeah.
And even I liked it better when I lightened my TV, but even that was kind of, I missed that. And, you know, so that, And I feel like there's more from that episode that I dislike now, but I also think there's some stuff from last week that is better now because of this episode. Yeah. Let's see what Peter has to say.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Sports, Peter.
Thrones to you and sports.
What can we do for you?
I just kind of wanted to echo Fred and y'all about the structure of the season. I think. I mean, hindsight, you know, of course, being 2020 and all, I think the fall of the wall and the Night King and the Army and Arya and all that, I think that should have closed out last season, where that then they could have focused this season on more of, you know, the battle between Cersei and all this, because it really seems like it's been forced really quickly. It's like, hey, look at these two armies. Oh, look, dragon, boom, everybody's dead. Like, it's really fast. I mean, I realize that, you know, the destructive power of the dragon, of course, but it just seems like it's gone. In some of the travel time, it's like, you know, they have, like, you know, really fast boats or something, because they're going from Winterfell to King's Landing in what seems like a day.
Well, I think that part of that problem is they decided to wrap it up in six episodes versus either 10 episodes or even multiple more seasons, which is what George R.R. Martin said was going to be needed.
Yeah, I'm going to say I really don't care what George R.R. Martin thinks, because they needed to get some of those characters out of those books, and they did. So I think you could have wrapped it up. I just think there were some areas where they focused on, and I need to see the last one before I say
but
that.
You can agree last season timeline was
it moved too fast. Yeah, there was it jumped around a lot. You know, suddenly when they're supposed to be one place, they're time traveled to another place.
Right,
and I get it. I'll make another comparison here. The first movie they made of Dune, there's so much that happens that you just miss it. They just gloss right over it. And I think that's what you're seeing here, is a little bit of stuff being glossed over. And I don't think it needed to be. I think there were some conversations you could have eliminated and some scenes you could have eliminated that would have and put in something that made more sense.
Yeah.
And that's all. And I think a few little changes here and there would have made a huge difference.
Lamont says, when Tyrion confronted Cersei at the wall, he told her, your people hate you. Held those same people through excrement at Joffrey. Well, if you remember when she took the walk, the shame walk,
yeah,
they were throwing stuff at her. They hate her.
Although I don't know what Tyrion would know. He hadn't been there in years.
Ivan says, y'all don't think Dany thought the bells was a trap? She'd already been fooled over and over.
Could have been,
That's a reasonable explanation.
Yeah, she's,
like if that's the case, though, I feel like she would have, if she thought that Tyrion would do something like that, she would have killed him when she killed Varys.
No, I think he's getting killed anyway. So, I thought Deacon mentioned yesterday, said the end of the Hound and the Mountain battle was the ultimate poetry. Their anger and journey began in fire, ended in fire, from Deacon. And I think, I honestly think that I've watched it. I'm going to watch it again tonight probably and see if I missed anything else. But I just thought in terms of things happening, like we always talk about, you can watch a movie like Fight Club. You can watch a movie like Fight Club at level one and enjoy it because it's entertaining. But if you get to level 10, when you start looking at all the psychological and sociological issues to it, and you understand the movie even better at level 10, I kind of think this episode is like that. If you get to level 10, you're enjoying it a lot more, and you have to put effort into it, and I don't think people want to put effort into stuff.
Here's the other thing. Sometimes when you get to level 10 on things, sometimes you're turning it into what you want it to be.
Not necessarily. I think when you're getting that far into it, you're seeing more things that good and bad, depending on how you look at it. And I just think this episode had a lot more going on that you have to work to get to.
Yeah.
And you know what? This is different because this is more of a focus thing, where episode three, you had to work to get to it by lightening your damn screen. In this one, you had to get to it by actually paying attention to a lot of stuff that had happened in the prior episodes.
All right, guys, the Y Factor is Houston's premier comprehensive urology practice. Whatever you've got going on down there, general male wellness issues, genital pain, concerns, low T, fertility evaluations, they take care of you guys. They even do the no scalpel vasectomy, which that's what I'm all about. I'm all about that vasectomy life. No more babies. But if you've got any of those types of things that you need to get taken care of, the Y Factor is the place to do it. I know people talk all the time about testosterone treatment, and it's great to have your testosterone numbers up, but you don't need to go through the weekly shots to get that, guys. You can you can actually do it naturally. Get your body creating its own testosterone naturally again. They've got three locations in the Houston area to serve you, and they're all fantastic. Here in Houston at Katy Freeway and Campbell in the Memorial area right over here by us, off 249 in Northwest Houston and down south in Webster, and they're still doing that $150 value free general mail wellness check. It's $150 in value for you. It's free. How great is that? They're booking appointments now, 832-358-8600 or mancenters.com to book it online. The Y Factor, presented by Man Centers, helping men lead better, more fulfilling lives.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. You know, it's funny. The other night we had a real good, oh, by the way, 3-0 Astros. Correa! Knocked one out. So first inning? Is that where we are?
Yeah, first inning.
Okay. And on Twitter, we were all disagreeing about stuff, but for a Twitter conversation, it was very civil. Man, some of the Facebook comments on my story were just, you know, how stupid I am, and that was the worst episode ever, and blah, blah. And I disagree vehemently. I enjoyed it, and I think that if they can come up with a really epic last episode, it could salvage the season, but I don't know that they're going to do that. Let's get one more call in on it with Boosh, and then we'll move on to some other stuff. What's up, Boosh?
Hey, sports boys.
Sports.
Hey, so I got a couple of things here. So on a percentage, to me, that battle scene was at least 80% better than the one that was all hyped up about the longest battle scene ever or whatever. That was that battle scene was, you felt like you were there, right? And then second of all, what are the odds that Arya kills Daenerys?
I don't know. I think Arya's done her thing.
Yeah,
I think Jon is gonna be the, if Daenerys is killed, I think it'll be Jon that kills her.
Yeah, I think she's earned the right to ride off into the sunset. And you know, everybody talks about the green eyes thing, and that, well, Cersei had green eyes and Daenerys has green eyes. I thought Daenerys had blue eyes. I could be wrong about that. But she did kill Baelish, and he had green eyes, so it's possible that was the thing there. But yeah, you know, I like I said, I enjoyed it. I'm gonna watch it again probably after I watch a little sport tonight. But I just think that there's a lot of people who've decided that the season sucks and it doesn't really matter. It's the most talked about show I think in history at this point.
It's definitely up there.
So, and I thought he's right about the battle scene, because it wasn't like the other battle scenes where something happens at the last moment to save everything. This was just an ass kicking from the beginning from that perspective. But I loved how they flipped the point of view to the people running around in the city and trying to run from it, including Arya.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was so well done. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And somebody been having a rough stretch. Thanking us for entertaining them, which is all we try to do, brother. Entertain everybody. Because we know the insanity that comes with the traffic of Houston.
Yeah.
We do our best. All right. I wanted to play this Bill Nye thing from John Oliver. Because for those of you who are familiar with Bill Nye, he do these little things where he explains science to you. Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Yeah.
So he did a little bit for John Oliver's thing on global warming. And we have edited it, right? Okay, let's hear it.
Yes.
So to break down the logic behind it, I've enlisted the help of a guy who's made a career out of explaining complex ideas with fun visual stunts.
Hi, John. Bill Nye, the Science Guy here. I'm going to explain the complicated logic behind carbon pricing. But first, safety glasses on. When something costs more, people buy less of it. Safety glasses off. That's it.
Wait, that's it?
Yeah, that's not the one.
Oh. I mean, honestly, I was expecting something a bit more fun and visual than that, Bill. Could you maybe explain the long-term impact of carbon pricing, but with a cool stunt, you know, to jazz up what you're saying? Go on.
Okay, safety glasses on. When we release carbon, say by burning coal or driving an SUV, all of us pay for that in the form of things like fires, floods, and crop failures. Putting a fee on carbon creates incentives to emit less carbon. And more importantly, it also incentivizes the development of low-carbon technology, which is huge.
This is not it.
Because that's vital.
His was about global warming, so never mind.
Is all about on his global warming
thing. There was just there was a real short one where he started talking about that, and he sets the earth on fire and drops a bunch of F-bombs, and it's really funny. So if that was not it, I apologize to the people for wasting their time. So I thought it was hilarious. The rest of it was just kind of,
yeah. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
So, yeah.
Maybe someday.
So you just, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will find the clip and then send it to you on the next break so that we can do it that way. And Ike said he was thanking Jerome for providing the first bit of rocket optimism since that dreadful game on Friday.
I didn't really have any optimism, man.
I guess he's saying Jerome gave him some.
Yeah. I still don't feel very optimistic.
He's just saying that he's not as it's the Chris Paul contract's not bad, but I believe right now there's no real denying that it's bad. I mean, at this point, it's for sure bad.
Yeah, well, I think it's like we talked about yesterday. I think you got one more year where it's not going to look ridiculous, and then those last two, it's going to be very bad.
This year could look ridiculous.
It could. There's a chance, but let me ask, what's your take on Lucifer season 4 on Netflix? I liked it a lot. It was very true to the series, and I thought the way it ended, if they never do another one, then that's a good ending. But if they do a season 5, I'd be interested to see how they do it from there, because it is a pretty satisfying ending. Not satisfying in terms of a happy ending, but one of those things where you say, okay, that's a cool way for the series to end.
Yeah.
So if it stays like that, I'd be okay with it. But I enjoy it. I'm not getting sick of it yet. So I'd like to see another season, but I'd be real curious. And I know they have ideas for it because they've said if it gets renewed, they have a plan. But if not, I think it ended very well. So, all right, I'm going to try to find this while you tell the people about
TGS. Yeah, guys, TGS Insurance. Listen, if you are a homeowner, you're throwing money out the window if you're not using TGS Insurance. I mean, I'm not guaranteeing that, but it's likely. TGS, what they do is they've built a system that's going to give you a firm insurance quote on your homeowner's policy in 15 seconds, and it's so simple. Here's how it works. You grab your phone, text the word money to 232323. They're going to ask you for your address. You send them your address, you get a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. And when I'm saying excellent coverage, the average customer this year, this is a verified number now. Verified. $870. Average. I mean, you can't use an extra $870 a year. I know you can use that. You don't even need to wait until your renewal. TGS takes care of the back end, the paperwork, the nonsense, so you can free your mind and fatten your wallet. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote. Save big today.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. All right, can we take another run at this? Do we have it now? All right, let's play this for the people.
I'm happy to say that Bill Nye has actually agreed to help drive the urgency home at this point by actually doing one of his enjoyable, light-hearted demonstration. So, Bill, please, do you have a fun experiment for us?
Here, I've got an experiment for you. Safety glasses on. By the end of this century, if emissions keep rising, the average temperature on Earth could go up another 4 to 8 degrees. What I'm saying is the planet's on fire. There are a lot of things we could do to put it out. Are any of them free? No, of course not. Nothing's free, you idiots. Grow the f*** up. You're not children anymore. I didn't mind explaining photosynthesis to you when you were 12, but you're adults now, and this is an actual crisis. Got it? Safety glasses off, mother f***.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
There you go.
That was pretty funny.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, yeah. I let him dropping F-bombs. it just seemed very much out of character. But I guess he's right. Maybe as adults we need to be paying attention to this stuff.
Yeah,
I'm not going to make it to the end of the century, so but I'd like that, you know, for future generations, and for it not to be 4 to 8 degrees hotter.
I still feel like if global warming or climate change, whatever you want to call it, wasn't tied in suddenly to politics, then more people would be willing to admit that it's real. But
yeah,
because it's got a political lines drawn.
Well, isn't that true of almost everything?
If we could just
agree that, okay, this is a problem, we need to fix it, rather than, oh no, that's a liberal thing. No, it's really not. It's our planet thing. But I'm talking to you millennials, because I'm not going to be here to see it, but a lot of you will be. You guys need to get on this. We've already screwed up the planet enough for you. You need to get in there and do your part to fix it. Sorry. Apologize.
You know.
But I'm going to keep driving my SUV. It's up to you guys to fix it. Sorry. All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And, man, I'm saving some of the sports stuff for tomorrow, because I feel like we were way too sportsy for most of the show.
Yeah.
And this is sort of not sports, but kind of sports. Outdoors kind of sort of counts as sports, right?
What kind of outdoor sports?
Well, like a giant fish, right?
Oh, okay.
And a guy in North Dakota thought he had a state record because he caught a massive walleye. Which that's what we fish for when we're in Canada, is walleye, goldeneye, and really good. They get really big. Well, he caught one 16-pound, 9 ounces, which pretty big. Announced as a record-setting catch the next day on Facebook.
Congratulations.
One problem. Volk's walleye had been foul-hooked and therefore could not be recognized as a state
What's
record.
What's that mean?
It's snagged behind the mouth as far back as the tail. So, like, the hook basically catches the fish.
So, like, he didn't actually bite the hook?
Right. Says only mouth hook fishes are considered for records. And foul hook fish must be released. So, if
you catch a fish with your bare hand, you got to let it go?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's garbage.
As far as it being that's North Dakota law.
What if I chucked a spear at it?
Well, in some places you can do that.
Because I feel like that takes more skill than dropping a hook in the water.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know North Dakota law. I just know that for it to be a record, the guy had to catch it in the mouth. Hmm. Seems kind of weird. So the record still belongs to Neil Lyer, who had a 15-pound, 13-ouncer last May. And the record has stood for nearly 60 years. You got some pretty big fish growing up there now.
Yeah.
But it's a nice fish. I don't care if you don't give me a state record. I'm eating that sucker.
Well, he had to throw it back, didn't he?
Well, I don't think he did, because he claims he didn't.
He's an outlaw.
He claims he did catch it the right way.
Oh, okay.
So
you're saying there's controversy.
Yeah, little fish controversy. So 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Are we out early? Because we still got like 3 minutes.
I was going to try to get it to go a little bit early so we had more time for Hey Man, Bleep That.
Oh, do you have a good one?
I've got a couple that I'm tossing around in my head, depending on what you guys go with.
Okay. Well, I'm counting on you having a good one if we're doing this. Astros are scoring more runs, by the way.
Shocker. Did you see what Joe Flacco had to say about taking Drew Lock under his wing?
I did.
I kind of like it, honestly. and I don't know if I think Joe Flacco's still, you know, even a good NFL quarterback. I think he's got to go out there and prove that. But basically they were talking about, you know, if he was going to go out there and mentor Drew Locke, second round. Oh, you've got the audio? Yeah, let's hear it.
Listen, I got so many things to worry about. I'm trying to go out there and play good football. I'm trying to go out there and play the best football of my life. So as far as a time constraint and all that stuff, I'm not worried about developing guys or any of that. You know, that is what it is. And like I said, I hope he does develop. But I don't look at that as my job. My job is to go win football games for this football team.
Are you cool with that, or is that?
Yeah, I actually am kind of cool with that.
Because he said, I'm not a selfish person, I don't think. There are times where you have to be selfish, but listen, Rich, who's the offensive coordinator, does a good job in those meeting rooms. Drew's going to learn from listening to him talk, and then all of us getting reps on the field and seeing how we do as a collective group and as a quarterback. He says, I hope he does learn from me because we're out there and we're slinging it around and having a lot of fun because he's going to learn by watching us do it and watching us do it well. That's how he's going to learn. The timing and all those things, it's to be able to see it on film and you hear Rich talk about it with me and digest as much as possible. But he's right. He's not a babysitter.
Yeah.
It's not his good job to go out there and make Drew Locke better than him. If Joe Flacco were 41 years old, okay, maybe then your job is kind of to groom the future guy. But, I mean, I think the Broncos brought in Joe Flacco in hopes that he's still got something left in the tank.
Yeah, they want to win games. Couple of errors here for your Twins. It's now 6-0.
Oh, boy.
All right, guys.
For the Tigers, not the Twins.
Tigers, yeah, sorry.
Los Tigres.
Yes.
That's what soccer fans like to call them.
Indeed. All right, guys. If your credit card bills are keeping you up at night, get those interest rates up in the double digits. Hey, got a way to fix it. Just go to LightStream. You can be smart, pay off your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. You can get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. You could save thousands in interest. You can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. And if you want to save even more, Blitzers get an additional interest rate discount. And this is a really easy process. All you have to do, the only way to get this discount, is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. LIGHTSTREAM.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
Talking like I think I'm cold, never that. I'm really just cool enough to chill in your set. Me and the illest one at two are the realest ones yet.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ain't no mercy. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One last segment to go. Make sure you check out sportsmap.com coming up a little bit later. Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
Soccer Matters.
Only the greatest.
It really does.
Greatest soccer show in history.
Soccer show in Houston, for sure.
Definitely. You want to ask questions about spearfishing, ask Glenn.
Is he a spearfisherman?
His brother, I think, is a world champion spearfisher who lives down in the Bahamas area.
That's
guess what? He doesn't get the world record in North Dakota.
Isn't that Hannah Jeter's?
Her father,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. And Hall of Fame with Booker T.
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in him for.
All right, let's do Hey Man Bleep That, and we'll let Aaron start since this is a big deal to him, and he needs to rally. So let's do it.
Well, recently a woman in Pennsylvania had an issue and went onto Facebook to gripe and complain because she got married. And at her wedding, a friend of her father's said, hey, can I invite my kids to go with? You would think, you know, yeah, sure, kids. No, they were in their what seems to be 20s, mid to late 20s. They showed up with to-go containers to the wedding. And promptly like went up to the buffet where the food was and just started loading up all these to-go containers and putting them in over there by their table. And then when the cake came out, went out, grabbed a whole bunch of stuff, and took off with 10 containers full of food and cake from a wedding. So then she went on Facebook to bitch about it, which I think if you see somebody doing it at your wedding, that's best man's job number one. Like, go kick them out. Best man is whatever the groom need or whatever the bride and groom need, and bouncer, no matter what. Are you going to watch somebody just take food that you're paying for? And
here's what I will say. My guess is they didn't see it happening. Someone probably told them about it because, I mean, I've been, you know, in the bridal party a couple times, and you're not watching everybody else. You get to eat first, and, you know, after the bride and groom eat, you get to eat first. So you're not worried about people going through the buffet line because you've already got your food. So my guess is somebody heard about it down the road, whoever saw that happen. But and then if you see that happening, do you go and interrupt the bride and groom while they're eating dinner at their wedding? I don't know. That's a tough call.
I would think somebody, if they saw it though, should have stepped up and said, hey guys, you can't do this.
Get your ass out of here.
Yeah.
And people were bashing her on Facebook, saying, well, the food was going to go to waste anyways. Not really. I mean, everybody in my bridal party took all the extra food home and ate like kings for a week and a half. So I'm pissed off at the whole situation. The fact that somebody decided, hey, I'm going to invite somebody that you don't know to a wedding and they're going to bring to-go containers. And then I'm also mad at the bride for not having, you know, if they didn't know about it, that's one thing. But if they saw it and didn't say anything in person at the time, that I have the balls to step up and do it at your wedding. So for that, I'm, hey, man, f*** that.
All right. I'm going to kind of dovetail off of some of the discussion that we've had about Game of Thrones and just the thing that's kind of driving me nuts is and listen, I think there's been perfect there's
good and bad people on both sides.
Well, there's plenty of things that you could pick at from this season, and I think that this
plenty.
Episode well there's no question, and we have, and we will again next week, but I don't think this was an episode where you need to do it. I just think it's people have become so intent on destroying things, and it goes back to Endgame, which if you haven't seen yet, spoiler coming right here. I read a whole review of it from someone who had never seen any of the Marvel movies, and so they talked about how crappy it was, and it's kind of like, well, you had to have at least seen Infinity War because it was basically a two-part thing. Yeah, if you'd never seen any of them, you're probably confused, but what the hell are you doing going to watch it and writing a review on it? You know what? Those of us who watch the Marvel movies, we love that film. We enjoyed I enjoyed every second of it. And sometimes we needed to step back and say, hey, this was pretty damn good. I'm glad it ended the way it did. I enjoyed the hell out of it. And for those of you who are ripping it because you didn't like the Captain America thing or you'd never seen any other movies, to you, I say,
hey, man, f*** that.
Although I'm putting a U instead of a that.
Are you familiar with Joe Sheehan? SI Now, Baseball America, Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter.
No, not so much.
I never heard of him either, but he's got 43,000 followers on Twitter. Just a reminder that Zion Williamson should get to pick where he works, like the rest of us do, rather than have his employer picked for him and his salary dictated to him. Sports drafts are indefensible.
No, they're not.
No, this is the way it works. And Joe, he does absolutely have he can pick where he works. He's choosing to work for the NBA, and this is how they determine where exactly you're going to go play. If he wanted to play for a particular team in Europe, he could probably walk in and say, you know what, this is where I want to play, and they'll gladly pay him a fine salary to be there. He wants to play in the National Basketball Association, where these are the rules that they've agreed to follow. It's not indefensible. It's just the way things are done. And when you put it in those words, does it sound unfair? Sure. I was in the Army. You don't just get to tell them, this is the salary that I'm going to ask for. This is where I want to live.
I want to be stationed in Hawaii.
It doesn't work that way all the time. Welcome to real life, Joe Sheehan. To that I say,
hey, man. That,
yeah. Joe Sheehan, yeah. Dummy.
That, okay, whatever, man. And guess what? In a few years, he can pick if he wants to go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's called free agency.
Yeah. Oh well. Not everybody gets to choose.
Nope.
Where they work either. Go ask people who can't get a job in an industry that have to go someplace they don't want to go.
Oh, there's plenty of people who want to do radio who aren't doing it.
Yeah, they have to go to Laredo or someplace. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Aaron, that was a rough one.
AJ's made mine look really bad, really fast.
Do what now?
I said your story made my story look like really bad. Your story was so much better than mine.
Oh, I thought you meant that I made you look bad today.
No, you showed me up on the stories. That's why I feel bad now.
Oh, well, sometimes he does that. He gets to win every now and then.
I'm good at this job, all right?
All right. That was okay today. We will do it again tomorrow. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.